All righty. Hello again. So a couple weeks ago when I realized this day was happening, we're highlighting Labor of Love, I'm up front, I started asking the Lord, okay, please. You always want to know what the Lord wants you to say, and it's a trembling in your boots thing to speak for God and to say, I'm going to take the word and things and let the people that attend here, that listen, hi everybody online, what God has shown me and what he's saying to me personally, because he's always speaking to you more than he's speaking to everybody else. And that's a humbling thing too. So in that, I went through a process, and so today, in the next 15 minutes, because we did a few other things today, I'm going to go with what God gave me, and then at the time of 10:35, I'm going to stop. Whatever God does in that time, so be it. So we all have something that's weathered, used, and worn. We are weathered, used, and worn. But I have, you can pull out lots of things that you have. I have a little credit card card holder that's torn. It's almost falling apart. I actually have another one when this falls apart. But used, worn, and weathered, that's what we are. And we have many things that illustrate that. But you know what? This still has probably a couple years left in it. It might. I have tools at home that are used, weathered, and worn, and they've got 30 years left. So used, worn, and weathered does not mean it's over at all. So I'm going to read a little card to you. God's speaking to me, because I had this slide, and I like to show this slide when I speak, anywhere I speak, even in the city. When I speak in the city, I often show this slide. And this is what I picked up today, right? God of the universe knows you, and he loves you. The top number is the number of estimated stars. It's changing frequently. It's 10 to the 24th power. I don't know the name of it, but it's 2 trillion universes times 100 billion stars each around average. That's the number of stars in the universe that's known. It's changing. The number in the bottom is the estimated number of people that have ever lived, and it's 110 billion. You're one of those people. You're one of those people that God made particularly, precisely. We know in the Bible it's, he knit you together precisely and put you here on purpose. You matter. And so used, worn, and weathered, God put us here on purpose to do his work, to be his people. And if you're not his people, you should be. Throw that out there. And so I love this verse. I love that word masterpiece. Like used, worn, and weathered. I'm a masterpiece. And that's not me saying that. That's God himself saying that to you. To you. We are God's poema or masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago, 14 billion light years ago, or something like that, right? There's big numbers we could say. 6,000 years ago then. So if this is too many words on the screen, it probably is. Just close your eyes, I'm going to read it to you. It has to do with God's masterpiece that you are. It's God alone who determines my worth. So past failures or people's opinions can never diminish my value or sabotage my future. I praise you, loving Father, that a sense of uselessness no longer plagues my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, transforming me, and making me into a new creation and masterpiece for God. My desire in life is to honor your name by fulfilling God's will and divine plan here on earth. Help me to obey, Holy Spirit, this day to proclaim the great things the Lord has done for me. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Should go there. Because every day, God is doing his work in us, every single day. And so I have this used, worn, and weathered sign that I have. I have it around. I have several of them. It's really several signs, you guys, not just one. And it's beat up, wrinkled. People make fun of it. They say I should print out a digital one, laminate it, like, you know, whatever. But you know what? God at work is every day, every minute of every day, and it wears you out. It weathers you. It wears you. It wears your nerves. However, God is not done. God is not worn out. God is not used up. So God at work is powerful and strong right now in you. Amen? Yeah, and so some days we don't feel like letting God be at work in us, but he's at work every single day in us. And so just to underscore that for a second, this is a verse from Acts about Paul and how much he looked forward to going to every town he went to. This is Paul. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained or held back by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in every city that imprisonment and affliction wait for me there. In every city that I'm going to go to, imprisonment and affliction wait for me there. But I'm still going. Woohoo! Right? Worn, used, weathered. Paul, he's on board with God at work every single day, and he knows that in that place, it's not going to be easy for him. Still going, though, right? But I do not account my life of any value or not as precious to myself, if only that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. Thank God for Carol Lee and Francine, for Francine, right? She could say that now, that she finished the gospel of God for her. So God knows your number. That's a loaded word, number. This is a verse Adam actually prayed in his prayer. This is what Jesus was saying at one point. This is multiple times in the Bible. This is Luke 12. Are there not five sparrows sold for two pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. God knows these sparrows. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. So I turned in a report last week or a couple weeks ago for some work that we do for JMH Love Anaheim. And it was from January all the way to July. And we were 378 hash marks off, something like that. So anyway, I got an email and call, and I had to go through this process to verify that the numbers all matched up. So it got me thinking in preparing for today, like numbers. God kept bringing that numbers to my head. So I was 378 off, and we looked and analyzed, and we actually found that number, 378. We made a mistake. I made a mistake. Fixed it, and then it all matched up, and it was life was swell. So God knows your number, and we have lots of numbers, right? I have an address, 401 South Ram Drive, Anaheim, CA 92804. Seven zip codes in Anaheim. I got one of them. I have a phone number, 714-220-0811. That's listed in the Big Bad phone book if you go there. Still. I have a driver's license number. I have a social security number. We're known by numbers, a lot of numbers, different numbers. But guess what? You got an atomic number, a molecular number. You got other numbers that change minute by minute, that are huge numbers. If there was a screen that said all the data about me, how many molecules I have, God knows that, right? So the numbers I just listed off, even though I don't know them about you and we hide them in their secret, those are like 2 plus 2 to God. Those are 0 plus 0. Those are nothing. There's so much more to us. How many thoughts go through my head every day, and what are those thoughts? That could be on a screen. Boop. So I got to thinking of this week, and this is, if I have time, and I'm going to take time. I thought, what is one sin? Number, I was thinking of numbers. What is one sin? It's one sin, right? What is one Niagara Falls? We got one of them, right? It's huge. What's Iguazu Falls, if you've seen that or know that, right? 10 times bigger than Niagara Falls. We got one of them. How big is one sin? We got lots of them. It's big enough to keep you out of heaven, and it's big enough to put you right to hell. That's how big one sin is. And so God took care of that, though. Jesus came. He lived to show us what to do, how to be, how to speak. And then he died and gave all his blood, a lot of it, a lot. There's a measurement somewhere. But you know what? One molecule of Jesus' blood could take all my sins away. It didn't take all his blood. One fraction of something of his blood, one micro something, right? So I need Jesus' blood to save me and to take away all my sins, which he offered to me. So I was listening to some music this week, and there's a group called Leland, and they have a song that I really like. And I'm just going to read some of the lyrics on the how big is one sin and how much forgiveness do I need. I need Jesus' blood forgiveness. So this song says, your blood is healing every wound. Your blood is healing every wound. Your blood is making all things new. Your blood speaks a better word. Your blood, the measure of my worth. Your blood, more than I deserve. Your blood speaks a better word. It's singing out with life. It's shouting down the lies. It echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word. It's the blood of Christ that we need. And our sins are big and wide, but you know what? For me, that's gone. My sin's gone. I am God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ to do the good works that God planned for me light years ago. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that every day, and that drives me to be holy and good each day. I'm not perfect. Anyone that knows me here. But there's two things I'm going to focus on every day because I am God's masterpiece. And that is the two commands that when people ask Jesus, I'm not going to read that passage for the sake of time, but we know that passage. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, hey, what's the best commandment? Jesus went, all the Bible, all of it. More than the books of the world could contain. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. That's it. Two things. So what do I want to do? Two things. That. Love God and love my neighbor. And you know what yesterday was about, pretty much? That. That. Guess what the next month or two or year is about with this? That. That. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Because when someone gets these, guess what they're going to say? I'm loved. And guess what we're going to say? Yeah, you are. God loves you. And if you're courageous enough and you can do it, you can say, I love you. That's hard to say, especially a man to a man, you know. I've gotten made fun of for that. I tell police officers that. You have to know people, right, a little bit more. But if they're your neighbor, if they're your friend, or what these people here, you should be able to say, I love you. So love God and love others. So I have this on my fridge. It's from a book called The Art of Neighboring. And it really basically boils down to say, there's you in the middle. There's the houses around you, over your back fence to the side. 8 houses around you. Do you know those neighbors? Do you know their names? Do you know their dog's name? Do you know if they have kids? Do you know if they're a widow? Do you know them? Or how long have you lived there and you just go, I don't know my neighbors. And if I backed up, I'm going to go, what? What? But I'm not into that right now. I'm going to just go, I'm going to pound the neighborhood and the community with loving your neighbor. Like, we're just going to go overboard with 3,000 different ways. Someone's going to get it. Someone's going to get it. Like, you're going to get it. So I have some of these that I'd love to hand out. And this, the thing is not having a cool magnet on your fridge. The cool thing is being out in your front at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock when people walk and they walk by with their dogs. They're walking at 5 or 6 o'clock at night or whatever time and starting to learn names. Get in on the bag build and then go actually hand out a bag to your neighbor with your name on it. That's a little bit gutsy. It's not about gutsy. It's just about obedient, really. Obedient and just loving people God puts right around you. So 8 neighbors' names. Yesterday, we had 12 projects, 13 if you count the blood drive. I know you can't see that. I have it on my notebook in the back and the front if you want to see it later, if you want a copy of it, if you want to pray for these. Because out of those 12 projects, there's potential thousands of people we're going to love. Seriously, it's a real number. I stopped counting at 2,500. Seriously. That's the number. It was more probably like 5,000. If we take that seriously, If we take that seriously, loving 3,000 people, really? Yes. Seriously. It's not a fake number. It's a real number. In that project, 12 projects, we made these bags, and we're having a block party. Several churches. 10 neighborhoods are going to pass these out in the next couple weeks, probably in the next week. And so 700 or 800 of these are going to be on in people's hands in their neighborhood. 170, because we're talking about numbers today, right? For the last 2 years, there's a group of us that have handed out 170 of these over the fence in Villar Street and all the connected streets. Every couple, 3 months, people have gotten these bags. 170 families. In the neighborhood, okay? And then 800 other families around other places. It's about 10 neighborhoods right now. And so I want you to know that number. I want you to pray for that number because we're serious about loving God and loving those particular neighbors. So 170. That's it. You're God's masterpiece. Jesus died for you. His blood can take care of all of that you think you have. And he's asked you to do 2 things. Love me with everything you have and love your neighbor. Not rocket science. It's not molecular science. I could say a lot of what it's not. It is 2 simple things. And so, go for it, you guys. Go for it. Here's my last 3 questions. And I had to, these are closed questions are easy to answer. You can just go, do I love God? Yes. Do I love my neighbor? Yes. Do your neighbors know you love them and God loves them? Yes. Over. What else? But I wanted to make it more open-ended, okay? How many of your neighbors know that you love them? How do your neighbors know that you love them? What ways have you showed them in the last week, year? Have you told your neighbors that you love them? Have you shown them that you love them? Now, this, my point's not to make you feel bad at all. My point is to make you go, man, or, Nathan, I know 50 of my neighbors. I'm going both sides of it, right? None? All. Wherever you are, cool. Best time to plant a tree, 20 years ago, today. So please don't feel bad. Feel motivated, feel inspired, feel part of the family that just did 3,000 gifts to their neighbors. And then the best compliment I could ever give Magnolia Baptist, I was in Canada sometime recently, where I was asked to look at some churches and go, how is it that you're loving the neighborhood? Because people have the word about us that we love our neighborhood, and that's up for grabs. Come and look at what we do and see if we love our neighborhood. That's what you should do to any church. Look at them and see if they do. But after I looked closely at two churches in Canada for a whole day each, and I was asked to make a one-sentence reflection. Really? I said, I know this about both your churches. You truly love the neighborhood, and you show it in practical ways day after day, week after week. And number two, they know you love them, because I've seen it and heard it in one day that I've been here. So give me the whole year, I'll say it loudly. So do we love our neighborhood, and does the neighborhood know we love them? Could they say it? Would they say it? It's the best you can get. Leave the rest to God at work and pray like mad. All right, can I have the praise team come up? Thanks again for all that we did, all of y'all, for labor of love, and go get them.